I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Hey Glenn, you know, August 24th, Friday night, 8:30, I know what you'll be doing. You'll be watching my sitcom Dave on Channel 10.
I got to say, it's exciting. It's breaking new ground, not only for you, but for the type of show that we don't have enough of in Australia.
Yeah, basically, they call them comedy narratives, but I call them sitcoms. And it's based on my own life, and you're in it, you play yourself.
I
play myself.
And it is modelled on your life.
It is.
And again, it's the both sides of the coin. It's the
family life.
Yep.
And the showbiz life.
Yeah. And I got to say, funny, and if anyone could write a joke, it's you.
Oh, thanks. So 8:30, Channel 10, 24th of August, or it'll be on catch-up, obviously, on 10 Play. It's part of their pilot week.
If you like it, it was Dave, and if you didn't like it, it was Family Feud.
Yeah. Hey, Somehow Related is supported by supersimplecards.com, Glenn.
Great cards.
Great cards. You get a pack of greeting cards from Super Simple Cards using the offer code SOMEHOW at the checkout, supersimplecards.com. Glenn, you know Australians are more stressed than ever before.
Well, hello. Look over this side of the table.
We've got a new sponsor, Beyond Rest, and they are basically places you can go in Melbourne for flotation tank experiences.
I don't think you realise how good those places can be, because they take you to a place that you didn't realise existed in yourself, because you're so caught up with the world. You go in there, you sit in that beautiful salt water that's body temperature.
Yep.
You float. The only tip I would give is make sure you cover up your sores with a bit of Vaseline, because the salt will hurt you.
Oh.
And don't do what I did, which I sat in there for an hour and got very relaxed, then stepped out. The door closed on my head, banged on my head, and then I slipped over on the wet floor.
But that was not at Beyond Rest.
No, not at all. No. I'm serious, though. They are wonderful. And you can't help but feel fantastic.
Yeah, so there's quite a few centres around Melbourne. Go to beyondrest.com.au for the deepest experience possible. Love-filled temples of relaxation.
Just watch what happens. But you know what it's like? It's just like when you, just before you go to sleep, you in that in-betweeny.
Yes.
It's like doing that for an hour. You come out just feeling in touch with you know what it is? It's putting you back to factory settings. That's what I call it. It's putting you back to where you should be. So if you're feeling a bit hype, it brings you down. Feeling a bit flat, brings you up. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
Beyondrest.com.au. A business venture by Glenn Robbins. It's not.
Do you get massages?
Yeah, I got one on Tuesday from Roz. I get one like every five weeks.
So down to your undies and a bit of oil?
Yes. Yes. Hard to explain to your dad, actually. I was talking to Dad about it. So what do you do?
Something your dad would never have done.
Getting a massage. So how did you meet this woman? No, Dad. No, you just get given a person. You don't know her. I know her now.
I know her well. In his day, it would have been a Swiss massage, I reckon.
Yeah,
you would have a man in a steam room.
Yeah, but it's not a bad question for Dad. I wonder if he's ever had a massage. Ask him. I'll report back.
Well, I went to, because you had the full deal. I went for one of those where you can walk in, sit down. It's like haircuts. Walk in.
Oh, like in a shopping centre.
Yeah,
I love airport.
It. Yeah, love it.
And so the neck and shoulders.
Yeah, I got a neck and shoulders. Yeah. So I sat down, and the chair was really comfy, and I'm going to say it was the best shoulder massage I've ever had. She knew how to grab me, where to grab me, where to push, where to hold. Ooh. Just really, really good. Anyway, I walk out to my partner and said, oh, that was the best massage I've ever had. And she said, did you realise she was texting the whole time?
Really?
And here am I thinking, wow, she's real. Not that I want it to be anything beyond a massage, but she knows. We're connected here. She's just spot on. She's not even looking. Not only is she doing a really good job of finding the knots, she's really doing a really good job with her other thumb finding the right keys.
Do you take your shirt off for that or anything?
I just go down to a T-shirt.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
But the ability to do it, can you do it? Do you do anything at two things at the same time? I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I
wrote my book while watching the TV, and occasionally I'd hit pause when I had to concentrate. But...
Really? That's very... I reckon you've got one of those... I've got like a mouse. My brain's like those, one of those little mice running around in the thing.
Yeah, right.
It just goes round and round and round. And if something happens, it just stops. I can't.
Well, multitasking is a myth, apparently. You can't actually multitask it. You do one thing and then the next thing, but you're just doing in quick succession, basically. But that woman obviously... But yeah, then again, you know what? She would have done thousands of massages. And so it is like...
So it's like driving a car.
It's like brushing your teeth. They say brushing right. your teeth is a subconscious thing. Once you put the toothbrush in your mouth, you don't know what you're doing because you've done it so many times.
Right.
Most people don't think about brushing their teeth. Well, Dennis told me once. And so for massaging, for her, is that kind of subconscious thing. She knows what she's doing. She's done it so many times, so she can text.
Yeah, it's very... Just that, yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, like when you go for a drive, you can still have a conversation on the phone and you don't think about changing gears.
And then you go, I can't remember the last kilometres I've driven.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And, but I just think it comes under the heading of you're better off... Because it spoiled it a bit, you're better off not to not know. Like if I said to you, I heard what was in Dim Sims the other day.
Yeah, and it's like... Oh.
See, you know what? I'd rather not know.
What was she texting, though? I'm giving that guy from the telly a massage. What's his name? I don't know. You're doing it. Oh, you know. He's got brown kind of hair. He's a funny guy.
I don't want to...
Will Anderson? No. He's older than that.
I must admit, I have noticed on... I don't want to be a dickhead, but I have noticed when people have gone... You can see him going, who is he? I don't know who he is. And then one of them will grab their phone and then they'll Google me.
Yes.
And then they go, yeah, and they'll hold each up the phone and go, yeah. That's him, isn't it? Yeah, it's
I was putting up posters in the local pub where I run a comedy night, and these two middle-aged women were sitting there, and I could hear them going, I know him. I don't know him. Yeah, no, he's a comedian. Is he? I don't know. But they put the poster up, they both went, oh, yeah. And then one of them said to me, we were trying to work out who you were. Now we know. Yeah, thanks for that. Oh, I was in Baker's Delight the other day, and there was a guy about my age with a little kid, and he goes, oh my God, Dave O'Neill. And the little kid looks at me like a 9-year-old, and the dad goes, like I'm not there, this guy used to be famous. And the kid goes, why isn't he famous anymore? Like right in front of me. And he goes, well, he used to be on the radio. Why isn't he on the radio anymore, Dad? And he goes, I don't know, ask him.
Yeah.
So the kid goes, why aren't you on the radio anymore?
Yeah.
I go, well, I am a little, I was sacked.
What shop are you in?
Baker's Delight.
Dad, why is he pushing a loaf of bread in my mouth? To shut you up.
I was sacked. But look at your dad. He'll get sacked one day too. It happens to middle-aged men.
It is funny because people do talk about... I don't know, this is a bit esoteric, this conversation, but...
They talk about it in front of you.
As though you're on the TV and though you can't hear. And then when you say... Then it's like... I'm right here. Oh, and then they go, oh, the big movie star, he can talk, can he? Okay, no, I'm just
kidding. I used Trick or Treat Me a long time ago before I had children myself. So it was over 15 years ago. They knocked on the door, they opened it up, and they go, Trick or Treat. And I'm like, oh, I think I forgot. And the guy goes, that's that guy, isn't it? No, it's not. Yeah, he's on TV. I know him. No, I mean, guys, I'm right here. Oh, you can ask me.
Yeah.
Why do you want to ask me? Anyway, I gave him an apple with razor blades in it. Good luck. There's some music.
There we go.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, what a podcast. It's taken off, Glenn. It's hitting, you know.
I hope people are liking it.
Yeah, no, people, I give you a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go on the service station. Seems to enjoy it. It's very bored, though. So we get two topics.
If you're working at a service station, you're probably
pretty bored.
Yeah.
We
get two topics from Sam.
They're not related, but they are related. Yeah. They don't appear to be related.
Yeah.
They are related.
So we're like Holmes and what's his name?
Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
And what? Yeah.
Have you seen that show with Benedict Cumberbatch in it? And the guy from The Hobbit?
As I said after we watched it, we found it a bit preposterous.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, it was all right. But it was just a bit heightened, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it's heightened.
Yeah, so it was. We're just going, yeah, as if. You know when you catch yourself going, yeah, as if. You're not letting go.
Yeah, you're not falling into yourself
Which I'm not a huge fan of sci-fi, probably for that reason.
It's not sci-fi.
I know, but when you got sci-fi.
It's historical
But why am mystery. Why am I so cynical when it comes to letting go and sort of going with the flow?
Yeah.
I should just enjoy the ride.
So you'd like watch the Teletubbies in the Night Guard and go, oh, these guys in suits, come on.
Look at those puppets over there. They're not real people. Yeah.
Look at that. It's all fake. All right, let's go to topics. Here we go.
Laners arrives in stand-up desks.
Oh, Les Mis. That is one of the one musicals I've seen.
Oh, that's good because I haven't.
Oh, this is the dawning of the time. This is you know what amazed me about Les Mis? Because I'd only been to musicals where they talk. So like the producers, I'd only seen a few musicals, West Side Story. So they have a conversation and then they go into a song. So they, you know, I'm going to fight you. No, yeah. I'm going to fight you. You're a Jet, you're a Jet. And they have sing a song about the Jets.
Yeah.
In Les Mis, every word is sung.
But is it talking, singing, or is it singing, singing?
Oh, no, it's talking, singing. It's like, I'm going down the shops. What would you like? It's like, are they going to speak to each other?
It's like a dad would do to his kids.
But I went because I was writing articles for the paper and I was just looking for anything to write about. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
So you went to Les Mis?
I got invited to Les Mis. I went, I'm going to go. And I sat next to your good friend, Santa Chilaro, and his wife.
Well, you know what he did.
I know, yes. Because I said to him, I remember the story about you in musicals.
And what did he say?
Well, yeah, he goes, what was that? The one about where he took his kid to see...
The ballet? Was it the ballet?
Oliver. It was Oliver.
Yeah.
And then at halftime, he was so bored, he said to the kid, here's your ice cream. Musical's over. Let's go home.
Yeah.
So the kid's just like, what, that's it? Yeah, that's
he
it.
He told him, that's it. That's the whole story.
Well, Oliver just stays in the poorhouse. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I reminded him of that. Don't worry.
I took my mother to the opera, and I was really, and it was it was two interval opera.
And it wasn't the dishwasher one. What's it called? The one that goes forever. Not the what's it called? The German one. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there going, wow, this is pretty boring. And then I'm going, there's another interval. So I said to my, and I met a friend from the network, and the casino was just down the road. So I said, look, I'll tell you what, mum, you stay here and watch the second act, and I'll nick off for half an hour. I'm going to get a drink down the casino, and I'll come back for the last act. Mum wasn't happy, but.
The rinse cycle, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, the rinse cycle.
I call it the dishwasher thing. I think of the rinse cycle. The rinse cycle goes for like 8 hours.
No, it wasn't that one.
But I met one of the actresses. I think I did Spice and Specs with her. She only appears in the first hour.
And then she has to hang around.
For the last 20 minutes. And I said, so gig. I go, can you go home?
Yeah.
You'd go home, wouldn't you?
Well.
They wouldn't let her.
How long was it?
8 hours.
Jeez, imagine if you got... So imagine if you got caught in traffic or something on the way back.
So what?
Did I just tell you?
They got understudies.
I was ever tell you about the time I was running late for a gig in the city?
No, what happened?
And I went to a car park, and there was the elevator, and there was the stairs. And the stairs, I thought, I can't wait for the elevator, because you know what elevators are like.
Car parks.
They smell, yeah, they're unreliable, and you know people get in there and you get scared. So I went, and the sign said, stairs, emergency use only.
Oh, no.
I'm late for a gig, so I go down the stairs, all the way to the bottom, door's locked. I go, oh, great, I'll just have to go all the way back up the stairs and go out properly. Wouldn't let me out. I was locked in the stairwell because it was emergency only. So I then go to the bottom floor again, and I don't know, like with the big security doors,
yeah,
there's often a little grate above the door,
yeah,
like an air grate, and it was out. So I'd lift myself up and put my face through and start yelling, let me out, let me out. We're near Chinatown, and some lovely
Chinese people
walked past who couldn't speak English, and they just looked up and saw this face.
What is this country?
Get me out of here. I'm stuck in here. Help, help. And they just ran off because they got such a fright. So I jumped down and did a flying karate kick at the door, and it burst open. I ran through the doors, ran down the street, and ran on stage and killed.
Anyhow, what?
I didn't. That last part's not true. But
you kicked the door in.
I kicked the door in, yeah. Well, I had to. I couldn't get out.
Yeah, but...
Upstairs was locked. It was the emergency door.
Yeah,
the double-opening emergency door.
But how strong was the door?
Not that strong.
Oh, okay.
I just had those... Everyone's
nightmare, though. Getting caught in a... You know, Tom Gleason got caught in a lift on a cruise ship. So he said he'd had a few drinks. He got caught in this lift at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And he pushed the vent up and climbed. He climbed up the lift shaft
rather than sit in a lift.
Yeah.
And have a chat to some people for.
Oh no! There was no one in there with him.
Oh, but you were you going to get a lift mechanic out in the middle of the Pacific?
Well, you assume they'd have a maintenance guy that could hit a button or get a key or something like that. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
What a nightmare! Another reason I don't do cruise ships.
Anyway, I don't know how we got into that. Anyway,
well, Les Mis.
Les Mis.
It's a good story.
It's, I know there's a scene at the end where they're all chanting at a barricade or something.
Yes, that's right, on the barricade. It's about a revolution kind of thing.
Some bloke in jail, gets out of jail,
yes,
and goes on the run, and then everyone tries to stop him, and Russell Crowe was in it, and
who else was in it? Yeah, that was in the movie. Guy Pearce? Was it Guy Pearce?
No, it was...
Hugh Jackman.
The song and dance, man.
Yeah.
He's banging it out there.
Yeah.
Crowe's banging it out. They're having a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking their dialogue, looking like they're having a sing-song. Good gig.
That's a good gig. Stand Would you up. Do a musical? Would you consider doing a musical?
I've asked Rocky Horror. Yeah. I was asked to be in Grease. We watched Grease the other night on TV. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Right. And we played a game. It's that game, I Feel a Song Coming On. Because you know when they start to just get into a bit of a position, you're going, oh, there's a song coming. And you're getting ready to, oh, here it comes. Come on, Johnny. Bang it out.
I love Grease. I loved it when I was a kid.
Oh, it's great. Great stuff. And it was followed by Footloose.
What part of Grease were you asked to do?
The father of the...
Oh.
The father of...
Not the Frankie Valli kind of role.
Yes. Yes.
The angel kind of role.
They said, this is out of left field, but would you be interested? And I went, I chose a week.
I know, that's the thing about musicals.
You know.
Because like someone was saying to me, oh, you'd be... You know, it's a funny fat guy in musicals. They always have a role for a funny fat sort of person.
You'd be good at the narrator in Rocky Horror.
Oh, yeah, would I? Mm. Yeah. Again, 8 shows a week just does my head in.
8 shows a week and 2 shows on Sunday.
It's like a comedy festival season. It's just hard work.
Hard work. It's a Pete Rosenthal that says it's a weight loss. You burn weight because you're just performing.
All the time.
But then you get into a routine and you play a few games and muck around backstage and stuff and... Anyway, stand-up desks.
Yes, stand-up desks. I think it's a great... Sometimes I stand up and write. I think it's a good idea, but I don't have a desk.
Do you do... Like in radio now, it's kind of the thing where people stand
up. Yeah, yeah.
And the desks are a lot higher now. Yes. So when you go to... You have the option to sit up to the
like
high
table. Like a brisket bar.
You feel like you're a kid, a little kid again, because the tables are really high.
Yeah.
Radio stations.
Yeah.
So you can stand up, or you can... In your high chair.
In a stool kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, some radio broadcasters stand up and broadcast...
Yeah.
Like your Neil Mitchell stand and walk around.
Yeah.
I think the roads in Melbourne are a disgrace. Give me a call. You know, that kind of stuff. You gotta be standing up to
you can stride confidently with your microphone on your
standing up. But I saw when I was in Pilates, speaking of standing up, the woman on reception was using a standing up desk.
Yeah, well, see, you know what?
You gotta be sitting in a beanbag in Pilates.
It's the new ergonomic chair.
Oh, yeah, right. And remember, also, it's the new cancer. Sitting down is the new cancer.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because remember there was a time when people would sit on Swiss balls.
Oh, yeah, I remember that time. I'm sure we had one in the house.
And if you saw someone professional, right, say you saw your doctor, because I had a friend as a doctor and he said to one, if the doctor's going through your test results and bobbing up and down, you're going, can you not bob up and down while you're giving the results? Because I want my doctor to be still and steady.
You're talking about your hepatitis B situation.
If you flicked his legs the wrong way, he could fall over while reading out your results. Not good. And ergonomic chairs. If you had to get out of the building quickly.
Yeah.
There's no getting out of an ergonomic chair quickly.
No,
if it was on fire, if the place was on fire.
Standing up desks, they have treadmill desks too.
No.
Well, I saw that on a TV show, but I don't know if it was a joke or not, but there are treadmill desks. Yeah, there are. Yeah, where you can work on a treadmill while you're...
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Very Hollywood, have your treadmill desk going. Walking while you're writing or taking phone calls. Or,
oh, that's too much time in their hands. It's just ridiculous.
I would lean on a stand-up desk.
Well, that's the problem. I was speaking to a friend of mine. I said, you're doing the stand-up desk because you're back. And he said, well, I am, but I don't think it's... Because he's I don't think it's working because when I stand, I do that thing where your hips go sideways a bit. You stand a bit like that.
Slouching kind of.
Yeah, so you're not really getting the benefit of... Yeah, you're slouching. You're not standing properly.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm wondering... standing ovation.
Oh.
Theatre, standing. Standing ovation.
Standing desk. Where did you get the idea from?
Yeah. Have you ever got a standing ovation?
No, have you?
No, God, no.
No, I don't think so.
No. No.
What about when you're in a theatre? Like when I went and saw, what's the one that Tim Minchin wrote for my daughter's birth? I went and saw Madeline. Madeline? Not Madeline.
The Roald Dahl?
Yeah. Why can't we remember it? What is it?
Matilda.
Matilda. Madeline. Madeline's the French schoolgirl. Mm. Matilda. And at the end, everyone's like, yep. Yeah. Standing, I'm just like, it was good, but I don't... Standing ovation, here we go.
So did you stand up under peer pressure?
Yes. And my mother-in-law, Betty, didn't like it.
So did she stand up?
No. I don't think... Oh, she might have. But she could claim to be older. Oh, I'm sitting here, I don't want to stand up. But she said she felt that it was mean She felt like Matilda was just all... Because it is... Roald Dahl is mean. His stories are a bit mean.
Yeah, which make him... That's why he's interesting.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she just wanted the... She just wanted Trunchbull to give Matilda a hug at the end.
Fair enough.
But have you, I love it when you go to something and then two or three people try to get a standing ovation going, but no one joins.
Yeah, it's three or four.
Come on!
And you look at them going, relatives, yeah. Relatives of the cast, get over it. The only reason I stand is... Because I want to see what's going on stage.
Yeah, and also I've been sitting down for a while.
Yeah, so you stretch your legs and you go, got my car keys.
So
I got to say, this is a tough one.
This is the dawning of the... This is Les Mis. Les Mis and the standing up desk. I've seen the musical. I'm pretty sure there's no standing up desks in the musical. There's a jail cell... There's the board.
I'll tell you what there is, though.
Barman.
They're standing at a barricade, as I said before.
There is standing at a barricade. They do have a barricade. It's the French Revolution, I think.
Mm.
So there's a bit of stuff going on. Okay. Maybe it's more to do with, I don't know, who wrote Les Mis? Who wrote Les Mis? It was Thingo Hugo. You can go to his house in France.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's from a story. Victor Hugo.
Jeez, you're sounding highfalutin now.
Oh, no, I think because my wife, I only know about art and stuff like that because when we go to these countries, I go along to the, you can go to his house and stuff, but we didn't go to Victor Hugo's house. We went to someone else's house, Picasso's house.
Graham Hugo. He's
Graham Hugo.
His cousin
who was a plumber.
Lovely bike. Yeah, we had a cup of tea.
Maybe it's got something to do with Victor Hugo.
Hmm. Yeah. I think we're going along enough. I think we should...
We have some thinking music? Can we have a bit of Les Mis?
Yeah,
love a musical. I don't really. I saw the Monty Python musical. That was funny.
And did you see the other one that was very popular recently? The
Fawlty Towers?
No.
The Producers? No. Book of Mormon. No, have you seen that?
No, people rave about it.
Yeah, no, I've got to see it.
Gone now. Oh, it's probably in Australia somewhere.
Go see it in Ballarat.
Mm.
Go catch the Wagga Wagga version.
It'll come out on film. Surely they'll do like...
A film of it,
won't they?
Yeah, well, I like those South Park guys. I mean, I watch South Park occasionally.
It's genuinely funny.
There's some funny stuff in there.
And we all like a bit of dancing and a bit of singing in tune.
Yeah.
You feel happy when you see a group of people dancing together. You just You can't help not be happy when people are dancing together.
I like it.
So having said that...
Let's have some Les Mis. Oh, there we go. That's the trailer from the Les Mis movie featuring your good friend Russell Crowe.
My good friend. I've never met Russell.
I've never met him either. Yeah. Hugh Jackman?
No, never met him.
Never met him either.
I should say, they've never got to meet us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both big fans of the podcast. Rusty loves it.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer how these two things are connected?
Mine is really way probably off target. But I reckon the bloke that was... thinking about the stand-up desk.
Yeah.
Was in the audience.
Oh, and he did the standing ovation.
And he went, my back's really sore, so I'm going to do a standing ovation. I'm not trying to be funny here.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you have moments like that, you go, maybe I should. And I'm thinking he's looking at the barricade. Is the barricade not at the end?
To the end.
He's standing up going, they're standing at a barricade. Maybe I should stand up at my desk. And then he's gone, he's invented the stand-up desk.
Maybe.
I know, it's probably wrong, but you know.
I think it's got something to do with Victor Hugo, the guy who wrote Les Mis.
Oh, yeah, see.
I think he wrote it at a stand-up desk.
So he did...
I reckon Victor Hugo...
He wrote it at a stand-up... So he made that public.
Yeah, he said... it made me think when his book was turned into a musical, he got on stage and said, I'd like to thank...
But did he... what you're saying that he... And they said, where did you write it? I wrote it at home. And what sort of desk was it?
Stand-up desk. I'd like to thank IKEA for their stand-up desk. Thank you very much. Good night. You can sit down now. I've got more musicals to work on. I wonder if he wrote the book. I know that much, but I don't know if he must have written other stuff as well.
Put us out of our misery, Sam.
Victor Hugo would work with carpenters to make new pieces of furniture. One of the pieces he put together was a stand-up desk. It was at this desk that he wrote Les Mis Arrives and other works.
Well... There we go.
Well done, Dave. You were onto it.
Victor, I can just imagine him in his desk and he's French. He's a Parisian in Paris there, standing up.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
We have a new sponsor, Glenn, beyondrest.com.au. Now, these are flotation centres.
Oh, I love them. Is this where you float in salt water at body temperature?
Yes, you float in the tank, and there's several locations around Melbourne. Go to beyondrest.com.au for the deepest experience possible in Melbourne. Love-filled temples of relaxation. Now, this is good news. Somehow Related is supported by supersimplecards.com. Now, we saw some of these, didn't we, Glenn?
Yeah, they're simple. But that's what makes them good.
But they, as you said, you can put them in a frame. They're very nice. You can get a pack of greeting cards from Super Simple Cards using the offer code Somehow at the checkout. They're made in Australia.
Yeah.
They're made using the greenest manufacturing process available.
And they are combustible.
Compostable. They will burn, but they will also, if you're sick of it, you can put in the compost as with the carrot clippings.
Whatever you want to do with them, they're happy to oblige.
So, you know, use the code Somehow at the supersimplecards.com and get 10% off your order. All shipping is free. Go to supersimplecards.com.
But you've got to remember to write something in the card. Don't just send
a card. Don't send a blank card.
Just go,
that's a bit scary.
And kiss, kiss, cross, cross. See, I don't associate stand-up desk with the French. I would associate it's more of a Swiss.
They're always just smoking and urinating in alleys. Is that what you're thinking? I think you wrote it in drinking of the. But you, actually, now that I think about it, when you go to, they have a lot of Paris cafes where the working people get a coffee and they stand up and drink it. And they stand up and eat their breakfast.
Yes,
too.
They do.
They do all that stuff. It's a quick one, the croissant. They stand up and they eat it.
I must have it coffee quick.
Yeah, and they do it in the morning.
Time to sit down there.
Yeah, so they get their, they must be like short blacks and stuff and just drink them.
Because I eat my breakfast standing up.
Do you?
And my partner doesn't like it. She goes, why do you sit down? He goes, because I'll spill it on myself.
What, do you just do it at the breakfast bench?
Yes, but I don't put it down on the bench. I stand up and it's quite satisfying. God. Do you not at a restaurant, when there's things in the plate that are hard to get up, are you not tempted to pick the plate up?
Well, this is what I say to the kids when you're using chopsticks. I say, look at how Chinese people use chopsticks.
Yeah, they pick the plate up.
They pick the plate up and get it close to their mouth.
Yes.
Generally.
Yeah.
They're not like struggling with it 4 feet away from them.
So at breakfast, I can pick up the bowl,
often do pick up the bowl.
Yeah. I reckon the stand-up...
The stand-up
restaurant...
is going to take off. Good idea for a show.
I think I might have seen that somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen that somewhere.
The stand-up restaurant. Yes.
Phone Hacks. Hey guys, if you are looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast with comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper.
Yep. Yeah, it's a podcast where we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phones. So the results are both cringy and funny.
Also sending hacks from each other's accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been ruining our lives, but it's been highly entertaining. So make sure you get in on it. It's on the Nearly Network as well. Check it out.
Yep, please check it out because we've sacrificed a lot.
Phone Hacks.